Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Samach Tes, and we will begin 12 lines from the top of daf Samach Ches Amid Bey. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we began the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Samach Ches Amid Aleph, which discusses an Iska, which of course is the predecessor of what we know today as the Heter Iska. So Perek Ezer Neshech, of course, is a very important Yisaidi Perek. It deals with the halachas of Ribbis. Ribbis has a lot of different elements to it. One of the more notable ones is the Heter Iska, which essentially allows a Yid to lend money to another Yid with him being able to realize a return on his loan. The makar to the sugi of Heter Iska is Bava Metzia Daf Samech Ches, Bava Metzia Daf Samech Tes. But the Iska, again, mentioned in the Mishnah, and the Iska mentioned in the Gemara, was not what we know as the Heter Iska. We'll talk a lot more about the Heter Iska later. But it was a real legitimate transaction where two people got together and became partners in a business venture. Reuven has money, Shimon has a business idea. Whether the business idea is something as simple as he's a chenveni, he sells peiros, but he needs a supplier. He needs somebody either to supply him with peiros or to give him money so that he himself should be able to buy peiros. He's somebody that raises animals, agolim, siachim, but he needs somebody to give him money so that he'll be able to buy the agolim and buy the siachim. So Reuven has the money. Shimon is the managing partner. He's the one that has the business idea. They come together and they say that Reuven will put up the money, Shimon will manage this venture, and any profits or losses that they have, they're going to split. So that if the venture makes money, the profits will be split in half. If the venture loses money, the losses will be split in half. It's a legitimate transaction, and the Gemara says, the Makar is really later in Masechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. It works. There's no issues with Ribbis. It's something that works. There's no reason that two people cannot engage in such a transaction. The Gemara says that the way mechanically Halacha allows it to work is because we view the money that Reuven gives Shimon as being mechtza milva u'mechtza pekadim. 50% of the money that Reuven's giving Shimon, he's loaning Shimon. 50% of the money that Reuven's giving Shimon, he's just having Shimon watch for him or invest on his behalf. But Shimon is not becoming the owner of the money. The money is still Reuven's, and like any pekadim, kol hecha di isa reshusa demari isa, it remains Reuven's money. So that half the money is lahitza nitna, it's a milva, it becomes Shimon's. Half the money is a pekadim, kol hecha di isa reshusa demari isa, it remains Reuven. It's for that reason that if the venture makes money or loses money, the profits get split in half. Because when Shimon borrowed half of the money, he now became responsible to return that half. So regardless of what happens to it, his responsibility is merely to replace it. So if the dollars that we're discussing was $1,000, 500 of it is a pekadim, 500 is a milva. Working backwards, the 500 that's a milva Shimon now borrowed from Reuven, his responsibility is to return to Reuven. If it makes money, that has nothing to do with Reuven. Shimon made money. If it loses money, that has also nothing to do with Reuven. Shimon still has a responsibility to replace the $500. Just like any loan. The Malva doesn't care what the loiv is doing with the money that he borrowed. All he wants to know is that the money's going to get back. So being that it's a palga milva, as it relates to that half, all profits and losses is going to belong to Shimon. But being that the other half is a pikadin, that belongs to Reuven. So if that half goes up in value, Reuven is the one that profited. If it goes down in value, Reuven is the one that lost. So being that it's palga pikadin, that half's profits and losses belongs to the investing partner. Being that it's palga milva, that half profits and losses belongs to the managing partner. It's for that reason it ends up working out very neatly, very nicely, that they're going to end up dividing equally all the profits and losses. Stating that, the Mishnah Daf Samech Ches Amud Aleph addressed one technical issue, and that is that the palga milva, palga pekadin structure addresses why any profits that are earned as a result of this venture would not constitute ribbis to the investing partner. It's because the money that he's making is not for the chatzi milva. The money that he's making is for the chatzi pekadim. That's not ribbis. Ribbis is when you give somebody interest for a loan. The chatzi milva, he's not getting any interest on. He's only getting half of the profit. And that half correlates to the palga pekadin. So the money, the profits that he will make from this venture will not constitute ribbis. The issue, however, is the tircha, that the managing partner is investing into this transaction, into this venture, the sweat equity, the amal, the yagia that he's putting into it. It's clear that the reason he's willing to do it is not just to be some altruistic person to allow rich people to make more money and become wealthier. That's not what this is about. It's because there was a pal gemilva over here, and the managing partner is going to be entitled to half the profits. How's he going to make half the profit? It's because of the pal gemilva. So ultimately, any yegiya and any tircha that he's going to put into this venture is really a result of the impetus, which was the pal gemilva. So that in itself, that yegiya, that schar, although it's not tangible shekels, it's not real money, but as we saw in Perek Ezer Neshech, ribis would constitute any consideration, any compensation, even if it's not dollars and cents. So the sweat equity that the managing partner is investing into this venture, that would constitute ribis. So how do we address that? So the Mishnah said, the way to address it is by paying him for it. You have to give him schar amoloi u'mezoymoi. The question is, what exactly is that shir? And the Gemara here is going to bring four braises that read rather smoothly, that discuss a machloikis tanoim, what exactly that dollar amount is. How much does the malva or the investing partner have to give the managing partner in order to alleviate this concern that the schar, that the yegiyah and the amelos of the managing partner shouldn't constitute ribis? How much does the investing partner have to give the managing partner? Rameir says it doesn't matter. You can give him a lot of money, you can give him a little money, it really doesn't matter. What Rashi speaks out, all that matters is that they stipulate something. As long as at the time of the iska there was an upmach of some sort, that in itself is all you need. That would address this concern. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the investing partner invites the managing partner over to his house, and he tells him, if you'd like, you can have a little bit of fish sauce to dip your challah or to dip your fish into. Or he gives him a greigris. Even that would be enough. Rashi says that Rav Yehuda is being even more meikel than Rav Meir, because what he's saying is that even if there wasn't any arrangement at all, even if he just on his own, after the fact, allowed him to have something, that too would be fine. Rav Shimon ben Yechai takes a much stronger position. He says, noisim le'scharim mishalim, you have to give him a real schar. What's the real schar? It's kaboyl bottle. That was the first Gemara on the bottom of Samech Hesam and Aleph, on the top of Samech Hesam and Beis. Either way, it would seem to be really two shiurim. According to Rav Shimon ben Yechai, it's a real festa shiur. You have to give him kischaroi. Kepoyo bottle has to be something legit, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rav Meir, it could be even a davar mu'at. The machlekes remain Rabbi Yehuda. The way Rashi explained the Gemara was that according to Rav Meir, at the very least, has to be stipulated. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't even have to be stipulated. Tana Rabban, another brisa. In shamin lo yaseiza v'loy esarichelim v'loy kol davar she'enei oisev v'oichal mechta. If Reuven and Shimon want to engage in an iska transaction, Reuven's going to give Shimon animals, isim, goats, rechelim, sheep. And the agreement is that they're going to go 50-50 for all profits and losses. It doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because it's a davar she'enei oisev v'oichal. Because it doesn't produce enough. It doesn't generate enough of its own income to say that the managing partner will benefit from that income to make him whole for any amelos v'yegia to alleviate the concern of our Mishnah, which is that why does that in itself not constitute ribbons? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not true. I disagree. Shomin esel izin, mepnei shechalvis. How could you tell me that goats don't generate revenue? Don't goats give milk? You can milk a goat and let the managing partner take that milk, and that will take care of that concern. Vesa rechelim, and sheep also. Mepnei shegoizizoyis. You could always shear them. Veshoitvoyis umertoyis. The point is, there is income that can be generated from izim and rechelim. It's for that reason you could divide it lemechza umechza. Vesa tarnegoilis. Mepnei sheoizvechelis. Fekte gemara. Vitane kamo. Gizvechalov. Loi sipek. Leschar. Tanakama could argue. Why would he argue with Reis Yehuda? Reis Yehuda seems to be saying something very reasonable. He's saying that you don't have to worry about compensating the managing partner for his Yegia and Amelos, because he'll be able to benefit from the milk, he'll be able to benefit from the wool. Why would the Tanakama argue with that? Says the Gemara, Begiza v'chol v'kulam elei pligi. You're right. If the arrangement was that the managing partner gets to keep the wool, he gets to keep the milk, nobody would argue. Everybody would agree you could do the iska, the mechza, mechza. Isn't the managing partner doing work? Isn't that ribbis? The answer is no, because he's been compensated for that. He's getting the geese and the chol. Keep pligi v'nesevi v'tusri. Talking about a case where the arrangement was that they were going to divide the milk. They were going to divide. The only thing extra that the managing partner is going to get is the whey, W-H-E-Y. That's some of the liquid that remains after you milk the cow. That's something that's a dover mu'et. And the shaila was, would that constitute compensation? You have to give him a legitimate wage. You have to give him something real. The way is not legitimate. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Savala Kavua. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds like his father, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Yehuda. So you see in this Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was Rabbi Yossi, the son of Stam Rabbi Yehuda and Shas, who's Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, and he holds that Afilu Loi Tova Liman Ela Betzir for Lo Yochim El Gregas Achazel Uschayuv. You give him a davar muad, that's enough. So the Nesiyoi being the Tusri, that's a davar muad, that would be enough. In other words, this Brisa is another Brisa that's discussing the same exact machloikas that we had in the first Brisa. What's the shear of how much the investing partner has to give the managing partner to make him whole? It shouldn't be ribis the fact that he's working for him. Is it a scharim b'sholim? That was Shitas Rishim Bayichoy in the previous Brisa. That's also the sheet of the Tanakama in the second Brisa, or Rabbi Yehuda said, "Afilu leitav alima ela betzir, v'loyach alima ela gregras achas." A davar muad. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, in the second Brisa that he holds that the nesyubi and the tusri, the little bit of wool and the little bit of milk, the way that in itself would be enough for there not to be an issue with the amelus and the yagir. Tanu Rabban in the third Brisa, maskeres ishal chaver to tanagoylus b'shnei afreichim. A woman is allowed to rent her tanagoylus to her neighbor to use it to lay eggs in exchange for shnei afreichim. Isha sha'amro l'chaverta. This is the part of the brisa that we need. A woman tells her friend, "Tarnagoylus shali. I have a tarnagoylus. Ubeitzim shalichi. You have eggs. It's a good partnership. Ani v'at nachlik be'afreichim. Why don't we go into business together and let's make afreichim?" Rabbi Yehuda Matribi says, yeah, there's no reason you can't do that. Rabbi Shimon, no, sir. Rabbi Shimon says you can't. You know what Rabbi Shimon says you can't? This is Rabbi Shimon l'shitasoi. Rabbi Shimon b'yichoy. That's not Rabbi Shimon in Shas. And Rabbi Shimon holds that you have to pay her. She's the one that's doing the work. So the managing partner is the one that's going to do the work. So you can't just go divide the mechzo mechzo. The work is the ribbis. Freak the Gemara. What about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not ribbis. Doesn't he agree that the investing partner should have to make the managing partner whole for the work that she's doing? Yeah, the eggs that don't go bad, the ones that are never going to hatch, those eggs, the arrangement was the managing partner is allowed to keep. It's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasi, the Gemara is going to say later, that holds, even a little davar mu'at, that is enough to make her whole. So, therefore, that was Beitz and Muzaris, that would alleviate this issue, that there shouldn't be ribbis. But again, the issue is the work. The equity is fine, that's not a problem. But the issue is the work is that's being done on top of that, that the managing partner is only doing because of his chatzi milva. He's not doing it for the chatzi pekadin. He's doing it for his chatzi milva. That in itself would constitute ribbis. Tanur Rabbanan, a fourth price on the same exact note. Mokoyim, where the minig is that if two people get involved in a business arrangement, one person is going to supply the animals, the other person is going to do the work. And the minig amokim is that the investing partner would have to give the managing partner a few extra shekels for carrying the animals to wherever the animals need to be carried. So the halacha is you have to pay him. It's halacha l'maisa, you need to pay him. The ein mishanim minig amedino. You can't alter that, because if you don't pay him, that means the managing partner is doing the work for you for free. It's ribbis. Shem Gamliel Oimer, Shem Gamliel says, there's a way around it. Shomin egalim imoy, v'syochem imoy. To the extent that you have an animal that's together with its mother, or a siach that's together with its mother. There the halacha is, afilu b'makom shenagu lahalei schar kaseh mois. Even there, then in that case, it's going to be okay. Because being that the eagle, an animal, will usually follow its mother, so you don't have to pay the person for carrying the animal, because the animal is really going to take care of itself. Why don't you have to pay him for the mother? So Rashi addresses that question. Rashi says, because the mother is oisav v'oicheles anyways. It generates income, and that income the managing partner will keep that will make him whole for the work that he's doing. The issue would be more the child that doesn't have the ability yet to generate any income. To the extent that it's together with its mother, it just will follow its mother. There's nothing to worry about. But the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, le'boi yischar amoloi u'mezoinoi. Some tircha there must be. Meaning the Gemara is saying, I hear Rav Shimon Gamliel, you want to tell me it's a dover mu'et. But to the extent that we're dealing with a ribbis issue, that dover mu'et is a little bit of ribbis. And a little bit of ribbis is also ribbis. So the Gemara says, ikaglolim. No, being that it's only a dover mu'et, a dover mu'et the managing partner gets anyways. Because the glolim, that's the excrement that comes out of the animal, that has value. Albeit dover mu'et, a little bit of value. But that little bit that the managing partner gets from the glolim is enough to make him whole for the little bit of work that he's going to have to do. The idach, so why does Chacham have an issue with that? If this is the what's at stake here, and there's anyways glolim, so why shouldn't that be fine? So the Gemara says, glolim afkurim afkur. He holds that glolim is always hefker. We've had this idea before, l'ilchav zayinam analef, bavad kamim emchesam analef. So glolim is usually considered hefker, so you can't use that now. You can't say, but I gave you the glolim. Like, glolim belongs to the managing partner anyways, because it's something that people are not. And even if you say you're not mafkur, but l'dayta etzel kolodam, so that wouldn't constitute compensation. What is the beer in this machloikis? Whether the glolim, yeah, the glolim not, it's the same exact machloikis. Holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that even a Dover Mu'ud is enough. So this is a Dover Mu'ud. A Dover Mu'ud, it at least is. The Tanakama holds like Rabbi Shimon Ba'yechoy, like the Tanakama in the previous price in Noisan, like Schar Mishalim. To the extent you have to give him Schar Mishalim, that's what that is. Omer Rab Nachman, said Rab Nachman. Halachak Rabbi Yehuda, the Halachak Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Halachak Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. There were three Tanon that all said the same thing. That even though in an Iska transaction, the managing partner is technically giving ribbis by doing work for free. It's for that reason you need to give him something. And we have this machloikis. On the one hand, there were tanam who held you have to pay him a legit salary. Going rate, whatever the management fees are. That's what you would have to give him. Mitzad sheni, you had shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, respectively, all were the opinion that a dover mu'ud is enough, whether it's glolim, whether it's the nisyubi betusri, or whether it's loytov alimayel betzir, and you give him a little something, a gregris achas, even that would be enough. Said Rabbi Nachman, who we now know is the Mara Dedina of Friday's daf, so said Rav Nachman, the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, the Allah is like Rabbi Yisrael, the Allah is like Rav Gamliel. In other words, the Dover Mu'ud is going to be sufficient, says the Gemara. B'nei Rav Ilish, the sons of Rav Ilish, Rav Ilish was nifter, and after he passed away, the Yisoyman found the Shtar. The Shtar said, that he was the managing partner in an Iska partnership, and he was working for Palga Agar, Palga, Hefsid, the profits and losses were going to be divided equally, and didn't say anything in the shtar about Rav Ilish getting paid for the work that he was doing. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, so Rava said, Rav Ilish Gavre Rabahu. Rav Ilish, we know, was a Gavre Rabah. The Suri L'Inchalei Havi Safi, and there's no way in the world that he would have been Machshel, the investing partner with the Isaribis. Meaning he was technically the loiva, the Paul Gamilfi. He was the loiva. See, he's not the one that's receiving the ribis. He's the one that's giving the ribis. But still, even though he's the one receiving it, he would never be machshol the malva for the Isaribis. So it must be that even though there's nothing mentioned in the shtar, there must be an umdana that although the arrangement is 50-50, it's not really what it was. So manavshach, it's one of the two. E palga ba'agar trey tulsi ba'hefsid. Either it's going to be palga Agar, they're going to split the profits, but they're not going to split the losses, meaning the investing partner is going to have to assume 2/3 of the losses, but only get 50% of the profits. So Rav Ilish, the managing partner, is Yodei Lo Yoina, because he gets less than half the losses, but he gets half of the profits. So that's the way to make him whole for the work that he's doing. Or if it's 50-50 on the losses, so he'll get more than half of the profits. It doesn't matter. But the point is, there must have been some sort of Amar Rav Kana Mitul. So Rav Kana said, I said over what Rav said to Rav Zudin Ardo, and he told him, Mechitesi, how do you have a right now to go and alter the shtar and told the Yisoyimim that they have the option now to maybe take a little bit of more. Dilma Rav Ilish, Tevel Atzmai, Tevel Yubitzir Havo. We just said that the Aloch is like Rav Yehuda and Rav Yais, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, that for this compensation, all you have to give is a Dabar Mu'ud. So maybe that's what Rav Ilish did. Maybe Rav Ilish sat down afterwards, they had Kiddush together, he had a little bit of herring, Tevel Yubitzir, and he was Yaitza, and that was enough. Meaning, you don't need that in the shtar. Because Rabbi Yehuda said that even if they didn't stipulate it, it's going to be fine. So how do you know that there was an issue? V'amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Halacha k'Rav Yehuda, Amalei, so he told him back, Lav Hilchasa Itmar, I disagree with you. The halacha is not like those Tannaim that a Dover Mur is enough. I didn't Rav Nachman say halacha, halacha, halacha. No, wrong word. Whoever said over this halacha from Rav Nachman got it wrong. Shita Itmar. What he was saying was that we have all these brises that all seem to have a machloikis with how much you have to give the managing partner in order not to have this issue ribis. We had a Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yitz, Rabbi Yerushim and Gamliel. Rabbi Nachman said, Kulam b'shitach. They're all saying the same thing. They are all of the opinion that a davar mu'ud is enough, and even if you didn't make the arrangement. But as it relates to the halach, it's not what he meant. Shita achas itmar. And Hachi Nami Mistabri said it's mashma that way. If you're going to say it's not, lama le'le michshav u'lemeimah, halacha, halacha. Why do you have to say halacha k'rab Yehuda, v'halacha k'rab Yosef, Rab Yehuda, v'halacha k'rab... Why do you have to keep on repeating it? Le'ma halacha k'rab Yehuda, the mekel mekula. Just say halacha k'rab Yehuda, who is for sure the biggest mekel, because he said, even if you didn't make an arrangement, and I feel like tov alimai betzir, that in itself is going to be enough. The fact that we mentioned the word three times, it's obvious that the word wasn't halacha. The word must have been something else. What was the word? Shita. And Rav Nachman was never paskening. Rav Nachman was never paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. He was just saying that they're all the same, but it could be that's not the halacha, and therefore, if you're going to make it up to him, you're going to have to make it up to him in a different way. So just to exhale for one moment, two ha'aras regarding this Gemara. So we have a Gemara where Rav Elish was involved in a iska transaction, and if you read the shtar, it said that they're going to split equally all profits and all losses. And Rava said, Rav Elish gaver rabahu. Rav Elish was a gaver rabah. V'isuri le'inshi le'havi safi. What came to mind, Rav Elish gaver rabah, is a Gemara Masechtas Gittin, daf mem hei amar aleph, that talks about the gaver rabah of Rav Elish. The Gemara tells a story. Bonsei de Rav Nachman bachshon kedera biyadayu. Rav Nachman's daughters used to be able to stir a boiling hot pot of food with their hands. So they didn't need a kach level to stir the pot. They were able to do it with their own hands. Says the Gemara, Kash Leila Rav Elish. Rav Elish heard about this, and he was very bothered. Ksivi said, Shlema Melech said in Koheles, Adam Echa Me'elef Matzasi, I found one chashev person out of 1,000. But Be'isha, even one out of 1,000 I couldn't find. B'chal Leila Loi Matzasi. Ha'ikaban, say to Rav Nachman. What about Rav Nachman's daughters? They seem to be quite chashev. Hashem is performing this unbelievable miracle. They're putting their hands into a pot that's Yad Seledes Bo, it's Yad Nichves Bo, it's a Klirishan Aleish, and nothing is happening. So I don't understand. How exactly is this going down? Always brief. Says the Gemara. Garmelahu Milso Vishtabi. So the Gemara says, Maisa Shahaya, Rav Nachman's daughters were taken into captivity. And it just so happened, the Ishtaboy Iunami Badayo, the Rav Elish was also taken into captivity, and they were all in the same exact place. Rav Elish was sitting next to a person who claimed to know Sichas Oifis, that when birds chirped, he knew what they were saying. Also Urva, an Oirev came, a raven, Vikakarile, and it started yapping. It started making noise. Amalei, Rav Elish turned to this yid, this person, maybe non-yid, and he said, my koma, what's he saying? Amalei, he's saying, Elish brach, Elish brach. He's telling you to run, escape. It's a shas ha-koysher. If you run away now, you're going to make it out alive. Amar, so Rav Elish said, Urva shikruhu. I don't trust ravens. After that, Yoina came. The Kakari, now the Yoina was chirping. Amalei, my comrade. Amalei, he told him, Elish brach, Elish brach. Omar, Knesset, Omar, Elish said, Knesset, Yisrael, ki Yoina metilo. Klal Yisrael is compared to a Yoina. And if the Yoina said, Elish brach, it must be it's telling the truth. The Marsha says in Chedushi HaGadis, Rav Elish learned this from Noach. Noach trusted the Yoina. So Rav Elish said, I'm going to trust the Yoina as well. And he said, Shema mino, Misrachish li niso, Omar, Ezel, Achsi, Bonsi, Rav Nachman. He says, let me go tell Rav Nachman's daughters that there's an opportunity to run away. Maybe they also want to run away. But before he did that, he said, I want to verify that they're really chashuv enough that they'll be able to make it out alive. If they're really chashiv, so he said, how do I find out if they're really chashiv? He said, women, you know, they talk the truth when then the Beis Akise. Shaminu, the comments, he went to the Beis Akise and he listens into the conversation. And he overhears the following conversation. Adi Gurvrin ven Adoy Gurvrin. Leimalu le Shabuya dor Chikinu mehach le Leis Inchi vilishmu vilifrinku. He says, you know, I'm starting to like my new husband, the captor, is better than I like my husband back in Arda. I wish they would move us someplace really far from Arda so that our real husbands would never find us and we'd be able to live the rest of our lives happily ever after together with these captors. So when he heard that, he realized that they weren't as chashiv as they somehow had imposed to be. Says the Gemara, come Arak. He ran away, Rav Yilush did, and he left Rav Nachman's daughters behind. He went together with this person who knew the Sichas Ha'ifas. Says the Gemara, Rav Yilush himself had a miracle, and that person did not have a miracle. In the Besoif, he found out that how Rav Nachman's daughters able to stir the pot without the koch level. It was all kishiv. That's what they were able to do. But the bottom line is, you want to know Rav Yilush being a gavur rabba, this is where you see Rav Yilush was a gavur rabba. But Derech Agav, the Rav Tiveger, Gilyon Hashas, brings from the Sefer Aruch, that from this Gemara, it's Muchach, that Rav Yilush knew Sichas Ha'ifos. That's what Rav Kiveger brings. V'kvar hisigu b'seida hadoiris. And then he says, the seida hadoiris, Rav Yechiel Halperin, so Rav Kiveger's quoting the seida hadoiris, dekan mashba behepech, that over here, faker, just learned the Gemara, he didn't know, he kept on asking this person, said Tidua, that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said, that pshat in the Gemara zazoi. Says, I don't understand. Rav Yilush didn't trust the raven, but this Shegetz, who told him that the Yoina said, Ilish brach, he did trust. So said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Vaistos, that Reb Yilush really knew Sichas Ha'ifas. Because if he didn't know Sichas Ha'ifas, just like he didn't trust the raven, he would have never trusted this person. But if he knew Sichas Ha'ifas, then why do you have to ask this person that was standing next to him what was going on? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, because you see the Koyach of Negiyas. Reb Yilush knew what he wanted to hear. It was Pashut he wanted to hear, Ilish Brach, but he was worried that maybe that's really not what's going on. So he asked this person next to him, he said, Vazokter. So he told him, he said, Ilish Brach. So he said, Vaistos, that must be what the raven said. But I don't trust the raven. Then when he told him that the Yoin is saying Yilush Brach, he said, I heard it. And the Yoin is saying it, I'm ready to run away. Vaker, this Gemara is not a rider of Yilush didn't know Sichas Ha'ifas. It's a rider of Yilush didn't know Sichas Ha'ifas. Either way, that's the Agada part of this Gemara. As it relates to the more Lomdisha part of this Gemara, the Rajba asks a Gevaldige Kasha. This is one of the more important Gemaras in the Sugis of Perek Ezeu Neshach. Rava commented, he said, Rav Yilush Gavra Rabbo. Rav Yilush is a Gavra of Yisrael, Inshalei Havi Safek. There's no way in the world that he would have involved himself in an Iska transaction, which ultimately would have meant that the investing partner is going to be Malva Beribis. He would have never been Machshel him. Why? Because a yid is not over lifnei evil leisitem michshol. Frank the Rajba, why do you need lifnei evil leisitem michshol? Typically, we spoke it out in the Hakdama to Perakei Zuneshech that just like the Malv is over the Isiribis, the Loiv is also over the Isiribis, and the Rambam brings the beginning of Perak Dal Huchas Malv of Loiv that the Loiv is over two Isurim. So the Loiv is over and this is just like the Malva. So why did he have to say that? Wait, Habi Sofi. Typically, the Loiv is over the Isaribis, he would have never been over the Isaribis. Forget about the fact that he's been Machshel the Malva in the Isaribis. Says the Rashba, from this Gemara, you see a Yesoid Gadol in Hilchas Ribis. That the only time the Loiv is over the Isaribis is Ribis Dei Raiso. Ribis Ktutso. But Ayois, the Iska is not Ribis Dei Raiso. It's only Ribis Dei Rabbonon. But being that it's not Ribis Dei Raiso, it's for that reason, said the Rashba, there would have been no Isser Mitzad, the actual Isaribis. Norvos, the Malva is going to be over in Issa de Rabbanon, and being that the Malva is Issa de Rabbanon, there's a lifnei evil leisich to michshol, not to be machshol the Malva in an Issa de Rabbanon. But the truth is, although the Rajba says this, the Achroinim, the Paiskim, all point out, and the Rambam is mavur not that way, because the Rambam, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Chayt Shemishpat, Simen Lamedalos of Kotin Yud. This is a Loshen Rambam. Hamalva beribis pasul. If someone's Malva beribis, he's pasul edus. Chayt Shemishpat Simen Lamedalid. Which gets a lot of airtime. Chayshem Mishpat Simen Lamed Dalid is Hilchis Psulei Eidos. Echad HaMalva VeEchad HaLoiva. In Beribis Ketsutza Psulei Menatayr. Then Beribis Medrabanon Psulei Medirayim. So the Rambam says that a Malva and a Loiva Beribis are always Psulei Eidos. If it's Ribis Deiraisa, the Psulei Eidos Medeiraisa. If it's Ribis Medrabanon, the Psulei Eidos Medrabanon. Zoysoy meres that the loiv is over, albeit and this is the rabbanon when he's loiv the ribis the rabban says the ramavi yeshayimrim the bavak ribis ain't a nisal ella hamalva v'loy aloiva. What's the makar? The makar is this Rashba. They bring him from the Ramukhi Yosef, other rishonim as well. But the point is that this shaila is really toluy in a big machloikis rishonim. But Bederech Agav, the Michas Chinuch, in mitzvah, Reish Lamed Beisiv, Katan Dalid, says you see another thing in this Rashba. You know what you see in the Rashba? You see that if somebody's machshel somebody to do an Isidra Rabbanon, you're over lifnei evil esita michshel. Meaning you could have thought that maybe the only time you're over lifnei evil esita michshel is if you machshel someone an Isidra Raisa. But maybe if you machshel someone an Isidra Rabbanon, maybe you're not going to be over an Isidra. So that you clearly see in this Gemara, Luchura, you are. What the Michas Chinuch is Mesupik is that Isidra lifnei evil, an Isidra Raisa or an Isidra Rabbanon? Meaning, if someone is machshel someone to be over an Isidra Rabbanon, is the machshel over an Isidra Rabbanon? Or is the machshel over an Isidra Raisa? At first glance, you would say, how could the machshel be worse than the nichshel? How could the person that caused the other person to do the Avera end up more chomer than the person that actually did the Avera? And in fact, he brings from Tosfos and Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, in the sugya of Iser Melacha and Chol HaMoed, this is the Raisa Rabbanon, is a long Tosfos, a famous Tosfos, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and from that Tosfos says it's Mavur, that it'll only be an Isidra Rabbanon. But the Michas Chinuch says it's a Tmir Gedoyl if you think about it. It makes no sense. It's actually just the opposite. Meaning at first glance, you look at it and you say, of course he's only over an Isidra Rabbanon. But at second glance, says the Michas Chinuch, it's just the opposite. Why? Because we know that if Reuven goes over to Shimon and he gives him an Eitzah She'eino Hegenes, he tells him, make a right turn as opposed to a left turn. He just gives him a bad piece of advice. He's over an Issa Deiraisa. That means the Issa Lifnei Evil Eisita Michshol, the Deiraisa Dike Issa is not to be machshel somebody. Don't cause a person to stumble. So Freit the Michas Chinuch, how could you tell me that stumbling in an Isidra Rabbanon is worse than stumbling in Mili D'Alma? And if even the Mili D'Alma doesn't lift Nei Yivel Eisita Michshel Nidei Raisa, then for a Michshel of an Isidra Rabbanon, there should be an Isidra Raisa also. He's mamish matmi, he's very bothered Michas Chinuch. But then Michas Chinuch just says one knech. He says that at first glance, you see from this Gemara that Avadu is a lift Nei Yivel. That's the Rashba. But he says, you can argue maybe if I cared. Because the Gemara says, Rav Elish was a Gavra Rabba. And there's no way Rav Elish would have been Nichshel in something like this. Meaning it sounds almost like that maybe had Rav Elish not been a Gavra Rabba, he had not been someone that knew Sichas Oifis and he had all these miracles happening to him, then maybe, okay. It's Mashma almost says the Michas Chinuch, I'm tempted to say that really there is no Issa. And it's just Rav Elish, who was a Gavra Rabba, that the Gemara was bothered by. But either way, a little bit of raid regarding Rav Elish, says the Gemara, a little bit more about this idea of how much the investing partner has to give the managing partner, so we shouldn't run into this ribbis issue. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Moisa Shlish Bischarcha, Hareza Mutar. Rav said a chiddush. What if Reuven and Shimon get involved in an Iska transaction, and they agree that it's going to be Palgo Palgo? They're going to split the profits and the losses equally. There's no arrangement for the investing partner to give the managing partner anything. He's not giving him anything. But there is one clause in the contract that says that even though we're splitting 50-50, it's only for the first 33% of profits, the first third. But anything beyond that, you, the managing partner, can keep. So at that point, said, Rab, that's okay. Because as long as he's getting something, that makes it that it shouldn't be ribbis. They were very bullish on this venture, clearly. But he told him anything above a third, and the guy shook his head, absolutely. Vishmula mar loy matza moiser shlish yelech lebeisei reikon. How could that be? What happens if he doesn't make more than a shlish? Then it's going to come out that the managing partner didn't get anything, which means that he worked for free, which means that the investing partner took ribbis. So that can't be enough. Ela mashmul koitzitz loy dinar. You have to give him a dinar. Fake the gemara v'sover rab en koitzitz loy dinar. Does rab hold? You don't have to give him a dinar. Rab said erish eglo lepetuma, that if somebody gives someone else an animal to fatten up for him, and the arrangement is an iska, that any profits that come from the fattening of this animal, we're going to split in half. You should give the head of the eagle, of the calf, over to the patam, to this person that's fattening it. Says the Gemara, my love, the Amalei Moisa Shlish Bescharcha. Aren't we talking about even a case where they made an arrangement where the person giving the eagle tells the patam that you can keep any profits above a shlish? And the reason the Rishonim speak out that we're probably talking about that, Rashi alludes to it, Vashmi'in and Ra, because otherwise, what's the chiddush? There must be some chiddush that Rav is saying. So the Gemara says, Loi, it's not muchach that that's the case. The Kamalei Moisa Shlish, Iresh Egla Leptuma. No, it could be if there was an arrangement of Moisa Shlish, maybe that would be enough. We're saying Reish Aglub Tuma, that would also be enough. Iba Yaseima, Ki Kama Rav Moisa Shlish Bescharcha Mutigun Isle Behemel Didei. It could be when Rav said Moisa Shlish is enough, is where anyways the managing partner is not doing so much work because he has his own animals to attend to anyways. The army inchi, gavalatur. You prepare food for one animal, it's the same as preparing food for two animals or to three animals. You're just adding a little bit more. There isn't that much more tircha. So it's such a dover mu'it. It could be when you're dealing with such a dover mu'it, in that case, it would be enough. I saw one interesting digression in the Sha'arim Mitzvah Balacha. He talks about Reish Egla Leptuma. So he says it sounds a little bit like the Reish of an eagle, the head of an animal, is a dover mu'it. Right? He said you only have to give him the Reish Egla, even give him the head. That in itself would be enough. As if it's a dover mu'it, it's something inferior. And he says the truth is, this Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Tes Amid Beis, Meir Reisha Bezuzi. Rashi says, what does that mean? Lo Yikne Roshi Behema, Rakish Nimtza Bezul. It's not healthy. So the head of the animal was always considered to be inferior. And where this comes up in halacha is in Yerideh Siman Kuf Aleph, in the sugyas of Chaticha Haru'i L'Schabit. So if somebody has a piece of meat and it's Nisarev, Basar, Iser, Bebasar, Heter, so ordinarily there's a halacha of Bittel, Shishan, etc. But Chaticha Haru'i L'Schabit, halacha is there's no Bittel. So there's a whole Nidan over there in the Paiskim, whether the Reish of an animal, is it considered a Chaticha Ruy L'Schabed, or is it not considered a Chaticha Ruy L'Schabed? The two Ha'aras that he asks is number one, Shabbos Kuf Yotez Amad Aleph, Rav Safra Machrich Reisha. Rav Safra used to, sounds like why he did it for Kovet Shabbos. Why Reisha? If it's an inferior piece of meat, he should have taken the, you know, the cap of the rib. Why is he taking the Reisha? Additionally, he says, we know, Rosh Hashanah, we eat the Reish of an animal. So when we eat the head of an animal, Shenil Reish V'Loy L'Zunav, so we're always like, wow, we're eating like this Dover Chashev. It comes out, maybe it's not such a Dover Chashev. Either way, as I said, a little bit of a digression. Ayin Shabtonu Rabbanon. No, Rabbi Loza Meha Grunya Zavim Behema. Rabbi Loza Meha Grunya once bought an animal, V'yav Leila Arise, and he gave it to his Aris. So Rabbi Lazar was the investing partner, and the Aris was the managing partner. So he gives it to the Aris, Mefatimle, told him, I want you to fatten the animal, we'll split the profits and the losses. V'yovle Reish Ba'agra, and he gave him the Reish of the animal, this Dover Mu'it, he gave him as schar. Says the Gemara, V'yop Al-Graf, in addition to that, meaning he got half of the profits, plus for his work, he got the Reish of the animal. Amalei Devisu, so this Aris came home, told his wife about this business deal that he just did. He comes home with the Reish, what's for dinner? How did you get it? So his wife tells him, you realize he put up all the money and you got the Reish where he didn't get it. Can you imagine if you put up half the money? If you put up half the money, you probably get the tail also. So the Gemara says, so he said, you know, the next time I want to be your partner on the investing side, I want to put up 50% of the money. So the Gemara says, he came to put up 50% of Poligle Malisa. Omalei, he split the tail, so it already wasn't going the way he expected. Yeah. And afterwards, he told him, Tanda Fagila Resha. Now, let's divide the head also. So he told him, I don't understand what's going on. Amalei, Hashtakim Eikara Nami Loi? When you put up all the money, I got the head. Now that I'm putting up half the money, not only don't I get the tail, which I thought I was going to get, but I'm not even getting the head. So he told him, no, the Fashtes Nish, Das Ishka Yiddish Kup, I don't eat not till now. I don't. I don't eat. Zuzi didi have. Until now, it was my money. If I wouldn't have given you a little bit more, Mexican ribis. Now he looks at his Gemara. Hashta shutvianad. Now we're shutvin. Now we're shutvin. My comment. Tarachna tveit porta. So what are you going to tell me? Oh, we're partners, but this partner worked a little bit harder than the other partner. He says, "No, welcome to partnerships." Amri, inchi stam arisa lamari arikam shabbat nafshel asulei raya. That happens. It's not. That's not an issue. The issue is when one person is putting up all the money, because then the managing partner's profit is coming from the Pal Gamilva. If it's coming from the Pal Gamilva, there's a loan. If there's a loan, we say that the work that the managing partner is doing is consideration for the loan. That's ribbis. But to the extent that the profits that the managing partner is not coming from the money that he borrowed from the investor, but rather it's from the money that he himself invested pro rata into this venture, so his profits have nothing to do with the palga that he got from the investor. There's no milva. It's kulay pikadin. If it's kulay pikadin, there's no iser ribis. If there's no iser ribis, I don't have to give you the head. So I put up all the money because of the ribis issue. Because of a sifkat in yeriday, I had no choice. Now, does it make sense? Maybe not. But you know what? Ribis doesn't make so much sense. We spoke that out. It's not a cheshem mishpat halacha. The mechaber brings in a yeriday. It doesn't bring in a cheshem mishpat. It could be from a business standpoint. It seems a little bizarre. But we're not dealing with what business dictates. We're dealing with what halacha dictates, with what the Torah dictates. And the Torah says that if you're malvah, there's ribis. So the bottom line is, if I put up all the money and I take back, I'm taking ribis, I have to give you more. If you put up half the money, I don't have to give you anything. So he actually ended up losing out because of the fact that he was malvah ribis. Tanu Rabbanon, Hacham Behemel Chaver, a similar halacha, if somebody gives his friend a behema, and the arrangement is that the friend, Shimon, the managing partner, he's going to raise this animal, and they're going to end up splitting the profits and the losses. The question is, how long does the managing partner have to be busy with these animals? Meaning, let's say he wants to terminate this partnership after a year. Could he do it? And the truth is, we'll see in the Gemara, that as these animals get older, as time passes, it becomes more complicated to deal with them. So really, the managing partner is getting a better return on his investment of time on the earlier part of this relationship, but as time passes, it becomes more tedious. So it would behoove the managing partner to get out of this sooner, and from the investing partner standpoint, I want him to be busy with it longer, because as soon as he gives it back to me, I now have to be busy with it. So if there was no arrangement, I guess if there's an arrangement, there was an arrangement. But let's say there is no arrangement. What's the halacha? Hashem behemel chaver, mosi chayv l'tapa ba. Sumcha soymer, sumcha says, ba'as soynois, betanayzel, shemay na'as ha'chaydesh, 18 months. Big goydrois, those are small animals like goats and sheep. Chav talud chaydesh, v'mbo lachlich b'teich smanoi. And let's say he, the managing partner, within this period of time, meaning before 18 months for a donkey, and before Chav Dalet Chodesh for Goydroy, says that I want to terminate this partnership, Chaver Ma'akavolov, the investor has a right to stop him. Aval, Enei Doimiti, Pula Shoshana Zuliti, Pula Shoshana Acheres. Aval, my comma, what does it mean? Aval, Elo. Fish, Enei Doimiti, Pula Shoshana Zuliti, Pula Shoshana Acheres. Meaning the reason that the managing partner can't terminate early is because what he will then be doing is get a better deal for himself and really harming the investor. Because the second year, as time passes, as we just mentioned, it gets more and more complicated. So that when the managing partner agreed to this arrangement, he wasn't just going to be busy with it during the easy times. He was going to be busy with it the hard times also. So if he wants to get out before the times get hard, that's not something you're the right to do. Tanya Ido, Hashem Be'el Chaveroi. Again, somebody gave his friend an animal to raise. Amasichai v'tapaba b'vlodois. So here we're not talking about the animal itself. We're talking about the vlodois. I mean, what happens if now the animals of this business venture had babies? So now there's vlodois. So those animals obviously would be considered profit. It's profit of the venture. The managing partner has a responsibility based on the original arrangement to be metapo with those vladis as well. The question is how long? Bedaka, if it's a small animal, u'begasa nunya, 50 days. No, you have to go 3 months. My tipula meruba, why is it so hard with a behemoth doctor? Medesha, she know doctors, because the teeth are very doctor, very hard for them to eat. Mikanve, like after this time passes, to the extent that the managing partner is still being busy with these vlodos. So the halacha is as follows. Noitel mechze shaloi, he gets his half. Vechatzi mechze b'shal chavere, he gets half of the investor's half. And why is that? Because we now look as these vlodos were reinvested into the transaction. Meaning, based on the original arrangement, he had a responsibility to be busy with it for a certain period of time. But once that time passes, he doesn't have the responsibility anymore. So if he's still busy with it, it's as if there was a new arrangement that was made between the investor and the manager, where I now own these animals together with you, Beshutfis. I want you to raise them. And what's the arrangement? The iska, we're going to split chatzi-chatzi. Now the chatzi that anyways belongs to the managing partner, that belongs to him exclusively. As it relates to the other chatzi, it's palga milva upalga pekodin. So he ends up getting his chatzi plus chatzi of the investor's chatzi. The Gemara says, Rabbi Menashe Bar Goda, Shokam Mechzal Shoy, Bechatzi Mechzal Shoy. This was a Maisa Shahoya with Rabbi Menashe Bar Goda and his investor, where there were vladis and the time had already lapsed and he was still being busy with it, and he did this chatzi chatzi mi yerech. Also, the kamid abaya, Amalei, he told him, man polagloch, the shayla was brought to abaya, meaning he went ahead, and he started telling the investor, by the way, I get half of the vladis, plus half of your half. So, the shayla was brought to abaya, the investor wasn't happy with what was going on, and he told him, who divided this for you? So he said, I don't know, I did it myself. V'oid, he said, not just that, Mokim Chinogu L'gadol, we live in a place where the minigah Mokim is that you raise him for a very long time, not like that Brysa, 30 days, 50 days, 3 months, V'tran, and it's a Mishnah, tomorrow's daf, Mokim Chinogu L'gadol, Yagdilu. If the minigah is, you have to raise him for a long period of time, you have to raise him for a long, meaning Rebbe Nasher Bar Goda, that's the punchline of this story, couldn't just make this arrangement by himself. He was wrong, because the minigah Mokim anyways was wrong, but besides for that, you can't just decide on your own, I'm dividing the animals. You'd have to bring it to a professional, a rav, someone would have to oversee it in order for it to be considered a real chalukah. Hanu trei kutai, there were two kutayim. Now, wherever you see the word kuti in Shas, you have to know, geri emes, geri arayis, who are we going according to? But Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, as a goy, see, it says that these kutam were really full-fledged yidin, chsidish yidin, they just happened to have come from Kuta. Kuta was a land in Iraq. The Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Basra that when Nimrod threw Avram Avinu into prison, before he threw him into the Kifshan Ha'esh, the prison was in Kuta. Kuta was in Iraq. The Kutim were called Kutim because they came originally from Kuta. But either way, these were two Yidin from Kuta. The Ovid, Iska, Ba'adi Adadi, they were partners in an Iska. One of them went and he divided the money. This was the profits that this Iska had earned. And he did it without the consent of his friend. And the other person took him to the entire. He said, you had no right to just divide it without me. Meaning what happened was, they were partners, and the partnership made $10,000 in profits. And now, there was another business opportunity that the managing partner had, but he didn't want the investor to be his shutif. So what he did was, he took the $10,000, he divided it, $5,000 is for me, he took his $5,000, he invested it, and he made good money. His investor heard about this, so besides for it being a little greasy and not really passing the smell test, he took it to the entire. He said, Mechatesi, you took $5,000 from the $10,000 that we had earned together with Shutfiz. You now invested it. Mechatesi, you have a right to say that it was yours. I think I was a 50% Shutfiz in it. I want 50% of the profits. Rav Nachman said, Zuzi, commander, please. And they brought Rav Nachman. He's the Supreme Court in Dinim Ominous. He said, no, it's money. It's commander, please, you dummy. You don't have to go to a Rav to divide money. Money is money. So it's for that reason, it's okay. Meaning the managing partner had a right to Lashana. The next year, Zavin Chamer Badi Adadi. These two people went into business. Again, the investor still trusted his managing partner. And they bought wine this time. Here, the investor was the smart aleck. He said, ah, my partner outsmarted me. I'm going to show him. So he takes the wine that they had made as profit, that $10,000 worth of wine. He divides it. He takes $5,000 worth of wine. He invests it, and he makes a good return on his money, and he's going to keep the whole thing. Now the managing partner took him to Din Torah, went right back, this time to Rapapa, and Amalesi told him, Man Polagloch. So he told him, right, one. You're not finished. Wait, you'll see. There's a punchline. See, told him, who divided it for you? One second. Which rub overstood? A Malay. See, so I don't understand. What? I don't understand. All the rabbanim, there's some sort of conspiracy theory. When the managing partner divided it, it was okay. And now when I'm the one that did it, it's not okay. I'm a rapapa. So rapapa said, no, this is different. This is wine. He, your partner, divided money, cash. You divided what? What's the difference? Zuzi mishakul tavi v'shakul chaseri. Is there good money? Is there bad money? Money, but chamra wine. Kulei aviyadi. Everybody knows. The ikka de basim. There's good wine. The ikka de lay basim. And there's not such good wine. And it's for that reason he told him that you can't go ahead and divide this. Kufa amrav nachman. Zuzi kamanda pligi dami. Money is always considered as if it's divided. You don't need a professional to oversee it. But hani mili, when is that tavi v'tavi? Tekuli v'tekuli. Good coins and good coins versus bad coins and bad coins. Meaning today it seems very obvious that money is money. But once upon a time it was less obvious because money had intrinsic value based on the weight and the value of the coin. It could be if there's good coins and bad coins, the halacha would not be that way. So before we go weiter, and we'll try to finish until the Mishnah, three very important Gemaras, albeit very quick Gemaras from a Daf Yomi standpoint, it's just kedai to take a moment right now to talk a little bit about what we know as the Heter Ribbis. The Heter Iska. So we had a whole sugya over here about an Iska. But as mentioned, the Iska that we just spoke about that comes up several places in Shas was a real transaction where two people are not interested in being malva v'loiva, they're interested in going into business together. They want to split the profits, split the losses. The way you do it is by structuring this iska. It's palga milva, palga pekodin. Because it's palga pekodin, the bal hamois gets to keep half the profits and shear in half the losses. Because it's palga milva, he's guaranteed he's going to get his other half back. There's no profits and losses from that half. But the managing partner is the one that's now going to be entitled to half the profits, half the losses. The only issue from a ribbis standpoint we saw in this Gemara is what about the work that the managing partner is doing? So for that we had a whole sugya, a machloikis, Rishim Baichai, Rabbi Yehuda, other Tannaim chimed in, Rav and Shmuel, different arrangements of how you're supposed to go ahead and alleviating that. What became a minig Yisrael throughout the generations is that today, if two people want to engage in a basic loan transaction, like a mortgage, a basic loan, Reuven is going to lend money to Shimon, and Reuven only was willing to lend money to Shimon to the extent that he's going to be able to realize some profit, some return on his loan. He wants interest. Now, you can't charge interest because it's ribbis. Ribbis, the raisa, avak ribbis. Ribbis is super duper complicated. The minig that somehow developed with time is to sit down and structure the transfer of money not as a loan, but as an iska transaction. And we know iska works, because you see in the Gemara, iska works. And as long as you cross your T's and dot your I's, you do it properly, it's okay to do an iska transaction. There's going to be no ribbis. So even though the intent really is a loan, but it's all in the structure. And if you can structure it somehow as an iska, you're not going to have any issues whatsoever. And the truth is that as far as understanding clearly how Iska works, I think a really good Maramakin is Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igris Moshe Yerudea, Chelik Beis, Simen Samach Beis. The title of the tshuva is Be'inyan Mortgage, Hanog Bebatim Eich Oysim Shloyeh Be'isa Rivas. See, he was talking specifically about a mortgage that somebody takes from a bank to buy a house. But the point is that he goes through beautifully, very clearly, very, very nicely, exactly how the heteriska works. But before we see the tshuva, there's one thing you have to realize, and that is in the real life iska transaction, in the real iska transaction, today's daf, yesterday's daf, the investor was assuming risk. Meaning, what would have happened had this business transaction gone bad? He would have lost half the money. If it would have made money, he would have made half the money. But there's a legitimate risk that the investor is getting involved in. When Reuven lends money to Shimon and he wants his money back with a 12% return, he's not willing to take any risk. If the Iska transaction at the end of the day would mean that if the investment goes bad, that the investor is going to lose half the money, there would be no heteriska. You wouldn't have to worry about it. There would be another heter, or nobody would lend money. The heteriska wouldn't work. The premise of the heteriska is that I could lend you money, it's a collateralized loan, and I can get my interest guaranteed. So how does the heteriska work? In our sugya, it's palgehefsid. So how exactly does the heteriska work? So that's a very obvious hurdle that we would have to overcome. So Rav Moshe says that the way that works, and this is really the minig Yisrael, the way they structure these iskas, a whole bunch of different iskas floating around, as far as the different nuschais and the drafts, and everyone has their own knitch. But the general understanding of what they do is that the investor tells the manager, who essentially is the borrower, he tells him that if you come to me and you tell me that this investment went bad, I understand that I'm entitled, or meaning I'm forced to lose half the money. But at the same time, I don't really trust you. And the only way that I will accept what you tell me is if you're willing to swear a shvua deiraisa, benekitas chefetz, and you basically put him in a situation where there's no way in the world he's ever going to do it. And it's not even shayach to do. So what happens is, enechanam yitziniska, and based on the transaction itself, says Rav Moshe, I'm taking on risk. And really, if it goes bad, I have to lose half. But at the end of the day, we'll only know for sure that the investment went bad if you swear benekitas chayfetz v'chulu v'chulu. And being that that's never going to happen, you'll have no way of proving to me that it went bad. If you have no way of proving to me that it went bad, then you're mukhrik to give me my money. Oh, and not just that.
But what about the
hedge? Exactly. That's all included in the shul. Meaning you have to swear that it didn't make 12%. And plus fees and penalties. And otherwise, I don't believe you. Steph, I don't believe you. That's how I get it. So really, fundamentally, it's an iska transaction. And based on the this is iska 101. This is all in the draft. So you're basically telling me he has to swear, and that's poship shot the way the heter iska goes down. Here's the issue, though. Here's the issue. Says Rav Moshe, what happens though if the investor knows what went down? I'd say he knows. I know for a fact.
The building's not
there. I know. Exactly. So Rav Moshe says, so this is, yeah, it was in the papers. So at that point, so this is where it gets a little bit trickier. This is where it gets trickier. And this is where Rav Moshe tells you that in a perfect world, the less the investor knows, the more lekatchila the iska is. Because to the extent there's something that he can know, it's a really little troubling. Now, what Rav Moshe discusses an obvious case that the investor may know is, let's say, a bank that's giving a mortgage. Let's say an individual gives a personal mortgage to somebody to buy a piece of property. So it's very obvious. The money is going to buy this house. And you can find out what that, you call a broker, run a few comps, you'll know exactly what this house is worth. So it's not so complicated. What about in that case? So Rav Moshe says that it's not muchach, even though the person borrowed the money to buy the house, but lav dafke he used the money to buy the house. Maybe he used the money for something else, and he just has the house as collateral. And the truth is, does the lender care? He probably doesn't care anyways. I mean, it could be he has to write in the documents that he cares, but he really doesn't care. But so the point is that there are ways to circumvent it, and it comes down to the language. Where it gets even a little bit trickier than that, and I saw in the video, Barak Babam, shout out to my good friend Yossi, that was written by Rav Baruch Maskowitz, who's a Talmud of Rav David Feinstein, and it's Psokim and Halacha, based on Rav David. So he brings over here, it's Be'inyan Heter Iska B'zman Hazel Adasa Igris Moshe. That's the title of the Tshuva. It's Simon Reishayin Ches, where he goes through a Moshe's take on Heter Iska, specifically this Nakuda, where the whole Heter Iska is predicated on the fact that the Malva is telling the Loiva that if it doesn't return 12%, you have to swear that it didn't return 12%. Otherwise, I don't believe you, and you have to give it to me. But what if he knows? Or better, so he takes it to the next step. What if the person borrowed the money to make a chasana? What if he borrowed the money to pay off chayves? He didn't even borrow the money to invest. How did he have iska in that case? There was no iska. There was nothing. There's no business element to it. So he brings that the Shoyalu Meshav already discussed this in the Tshuva, and the Marsham, so Gedoyli Apoiskim from yesteryear already discussed this, and they both say Yosvara. They say that this Yid, who had to pay up chayves, had he not been able to pay up chayves, he would have been in a situation where he wouldn't have been able to work because he would have been busy trying to raise money. So at the end of the day, your loan facilitates him maybe to earn money, and it's that money that he's earning, albeit indirectly, that you can look as the schar to create an iska, and that's how the iska ends up working. A few other interesting things that he says is, number one, Rav Moshe says right in the beginning of the tshuva, he says one thing you have to understand, that number one, sheyedu shnei hatzdadim, when two people sit down and they sign a heter iska, that the iska is not just an amira and a ksiva ba'alma. She's the inner lachash. It's not an incantation. Viskula hamayilim. You say this three times and standing on one foot and boom, there's no issa ribbis. It's a real transaction. And Rav Moshe held that you have to understand that. I saw in Rabbi Reisman's Laws of Ribbis. So he brings from the Chachmas Adam and the Tzemach Tzedek and other Gedolei HaPoskim who held that the iska only works if you understand it. So it's not necessarily halacha l'maisa, I don't know, but there are many poskim that hold lender and borrower both have to understand. They both have to understand that there is iska. Just two other interesting things, and then we'll finish the gemara. Maybe we'll come back to this. But two other interesting things. Number one, as it relates to the schar yegia, the schar tircha. So what's halacha l'maisa? So Rav Moshe says $1. He says, if you give him $1, that's fine. It's halacha l'maisa, we pask in a dinar, which Rav Moshe says, and a malva should always give the levis. He's going to give him $1,000,000 and $1. So the dollar is to make up for the yegiya and the tircha that the managing partner is going to have. And like this, So that in itself is going to be enough. I saw it in Rabbi Reisman's Laws of Ribbis. He says that there are some that hold that being that Shulchan Aruch says dinar, it should be machped on a dinar. And he says a dinar, kesef, is 4.8 grams of silver. And he says if you work with a dollar, you're going to be okay. So I actually looked it up. Today, a gram of silver, based on Friday's close, is about 52 cents or 54 cents, something like that. So 4.8 grams is actually a little bit more than that. But it sounds like it's only a heater anyways. Bottom line is a dollar seems to be the going rate. And for a dollar... if you do a dollar, that would be okay. But he addresses something else. He goes, let's say a bank. You have a bank that's owned by Jews, and they're giving a mortgage, and they don't want to be over this or this, like the Israeli banks, and they're going to give a... There's going to be a heteriska. The problem is that they just signed 900 pages of documents, and the documents say that it's a loan. You have a little document that you paid a Rav, nothing, to go and draft for you. And it says that it's not really a loan, it's really an investment, it's a heteriska, but he has to swear, blah, blah, blah. How's that going to work?
It's the master document.
What's that?
It's the master document.
But let's say there's no master document.
So it's
the says it. Okay, I got it, but let's say you don't... Oh, so Sir Moshe says, very good. So, what's that? Yeah, I picked the wrong guy. Yeah. Tomorrow this would have gone smoothly. Yeah.
So, about briefs.
So says, Rav Moshe, that's how you look at it. The, basically, the understanding... Let me see if I can read it inside. Where is it? Them ha lawyers, lamed aleph yud ayin resh samach. Them ha lawyers lo yirtzu lichtoiv zeh elokemaisha oisin mortgage shuhu beribes. Those are the lawyers. I'm not masking. A good lawyer is probably not going along with this. Tzarich lichtoiv b'shtar ha'iska. That's what you just said. You write in the shtar ha'iska she shtar zeh hu ha'iker she hisnu v'shtar ha'mortgage she nasa al yedei ha lawyers who rak le bitchoinos. It's like the security. Kishu lo yirtzu lekaim v'lita mashachayiv lenois lefi ha'shtar iska. That if I have to come to it, I'm going to... Either way, that is a little bit of how this... By the way, you mentioned... No, Carl mentioned the iska kloli. So how exactly does the iska kloli work? So it's not so... Not everybody holds iska kloli works. But the tzad that it should work, it would be similar. I saw from the poiske kadmeneinu, they said that the reason it would work is similar to... Like, let's say you're a money lender, or you're a bank in Eretz Yisrael, so you're putting out mortgages all day long. So every time you have to give the guy a dollar and this and that. So the dollar is a little trickier, by the way, because that you do have to give really every time. But they do is instead of writing a heter iska each time, instead of writing it has to have an iska kloli, that every single loan that we do is really an iska. Oh, so how do you do that? So they shtel too. It's like kol nidre. It's just that the place can shtel it too. They're just like a cult. You can set up at the beginning of the year and say any neder that I make should be betel v'tal v'shriv like kayamin. It's the same exact concept that's possible to do with the heteriska. Either way, let's see if we can finish the Dav to the Mishka. Says the Gemara, Rab Chama have a megazuzi b'pshita. Rab Chama found a way to circumvent ribbis. He didn't lend money, he leased money. He rented it. Meaning, it's not a halva. I could lease a car. So why can't I lease money? And when you pay to make schirus, there's no iser ribbis. So the Gemara says, Chad Yoyim Akolos Uzi Rav Chama. Vahi Ayoyim, and Rav Chama lost all his money. Why? Because he was over in the iser ribbis. So what was Rav Chama's toys? Who suffered? He told Maishnami Mara. Why is it different than renting a tool? You could do that. Vahi Mara Hajra Be'ena. The Mara, what's unique always about the Pekadin? You have an obligation to return the Pekadin Kamei Shehi. The Yodiyah Pchasi. Not just that, you can... Notice the depreciation in the Mara, so you can say that the Demei Sechiros is to make the owner whole for the depreciation. You have to know why you need this. But Zuzi Lai Hajra Be'inayu, Zuzi is Lai Tsa Nitna, Lai Diya Pchase, you don't see the depreciation in money itself, that's why you can't do this. Another very important halacha. Amar Rav, Ashar Lai Inish Lamei B'Lai L'Chavrin. This is a huge chiddush. Ruven can tell Shimon, Helech Dalet Zuzi, Va'isvei L'Planya. Dohasta Dalet Zuzi, just do me a favor, lend money to Levi. So there's real ribbis over here. The malva is being paid off by someone to issue a loan. But it's not the loiva that's giving him the money. Somebody else is giving him the money. So imagine, Reuven wants to borrow money from Shimon. And Reuven's willing. Shimon's not interested in issuing an interest-free loan. He doesn't want to be Mekayim and Kesetal Vesami. If he would give him interest, then he might be interested. That will change everything. But he's not allowed to charge him interest. So what does he do? He goes over to Levi and he tells Levi, do me a favor, go over to Shimon and tell Shimon you're willing to give him 12% if he lends me the money. Zuzi, why? Like us, Retaira, because although the Torah said there's an Issa Ribis, but Ribis, Haba, Miloiva, Lamalva. If the Loiva is the one that's paying the Ribis, but if the Loiva is not the one that's paying the Ribis, there's no Issa. Va'amma Rava, another Aloha, Sharle, we'll talk about this tomorrow. Va'amma Rava, Va'amma Rava, Sharle, Lishle, Chavri. A person's allowed to tell his friend, Shkilo Harba, Zuzi, take 4 Zuzin. Did I just say it? Oh, Va'amma Leplaini, Le Oisvin, Zuzi. Take 4 Zuzi and tell Ploini to lend me money. So over here, the Malva is not getting anything extra, but the Loiva is paying extra. It's the reverse of the previous case. In the previous case, the Malva is getting more. He's getting ribbis. He's just not getting it from the Loiva. He's getting it from somebody else. Over here, the Loiva is paying somebody money to get this interest-free loan. So he's not giving the money to the Malva because that would be ribbis. He's giving the money to Levi, to this third person, and he's, I'm doing it. You know him, you're good friends with him, get him to give me an interest-free loan. If you do it, I'll pay you. So the Malva's not taking ribbis, but the Levi is giving interest. So the Gemara says it's okay, because Char Mir Kashokal, he's not paying Agar Natar, he's paying for the brokerage fee, exactly. The Abba Mar, the Raider Rapapa. This is Abba Mari Bar Papa of Hadron fame. So Abba Mar, the son of Rapapa, Abba Shokal Ugna, Dekira Mikira. He used to take wax from a Meicher wax, and he would tell his father, meaning he would get wax for free. Why would the person give him wax for free? Because Rapapa was a big veer. And he would tell his father, Rapapa, lend him money for free. So by getting his father to lend him money, he ended up gaining. So Amalei Rabbana Rapapa, Rabbana told Rapapa, Ochel Brei de Maravisa, they told your son, Abba Mari is eating ribbis. Amalei Kol Kihai Ravisa Nechel. Nu, Hazar ribbis we should all be able to get. Like Asra Teila, the ribbis Abba Milayva Lamalva. Dafka Milayva Lamalva. Ochel Schara Mirka Shaka Vashari. It's not Milayva Lamalva, and Yitz Hashem will more about this tomorrow.